Atheist Nomads, episode 227, Save the Internet.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And we have...
I was trying not to set off Rocco, but he always does.
Yep. And we have Gary.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Mikey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going good. Going good. We have a baby very, very soon around the corner.
So soon.
Yes. Mikey's just saying soon. Soon. Floating through my head.
Right.
It got weird when we got down to 0 to 3 weeks, and now we're, you know, closer to 0 to 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're being a little extra sensitive to any changes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for real. Well, I mean, you're still with us, though. That's important.
I am. I don't know how to take that exactly, but I am still with I am still autonomous.
That's great. Both of you now.
You are still here. You're here recording with us, yes. Which that's been kind of sketchy as of late.
Yeah, it has been super sketchy. I've been not feeling great, that's for sure. But, you know, things are moving along. It's just the waiting, the anxiety of waiting. It sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And this is the last episode that we are recording before we take the break. It will be a 5-week break for the last bit of the pregnancy and the first month of the baby's life. And the episodes are already recorded for almost all of that. I have one more I'm recording tomorrow, which will be done and edited by the time this episode actually goes up. So I have been, for more than a week now, with one exception, I have been working on the show every single day.
Congratulations.
That's commitment.
I'm so sick of this podcast.
You're doing a great job, by the way.
Yeah, no Civ 5, no
it's amazing.
Out of the house.
It's amazing when you try to cram a month's worth of show into a very short period of time. Yeah, it's a lot of very intense work. So
we had a good break this week. It was Thanksgiving, and we watched all the Bob's Burgers Thanksgiving specials.
Oh, those are good.
Those are like the best episodes. So I was watching it, and Dustin was like trying to edit. He's like, "Oh no, this is my favorite one." And then the next episode would come up. He's like, "No, wait, oh, this is my favorite one."
The new one's pretty good too. Yeah,
Spatchcock. Oh yes. So yeah, we had our nice little Thanksgiving.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice little trip to labor and delivery.
Yep. Yeah. Second one so far. Hopefully we won't make too many more before we leave with the baby.
That's all right.
Yeah. T-minus any moment now is basically where you're at for the delivery date. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on to the Dustin Off the Grease segment, which we're going to go ahead and dedicate this time to net neutrality. Because again, this is an incredibly important topic. And yes, again. The FCC has now announced that they are going to be pulling back all of the Obama era net neutrality rules, meaning the last year's or year before's designation of ISPs as Title II common carriers will no longer be in effect.
What does that mean?
That means they are free to do whatever the hell they want. They can block sites on you. No
they
problem.
Can control the infrastructure.
They can throttle.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want to. Yeah,
more than just fun. Controlling the infrastructure they build, they can control what data is going through it. There are some technical arguments in favor of doing away with net neutrality.
Are there any good ones?
The only good one is it allows ISPs to do packet shaping, which means they get to prioritize certain types of traffic for things like voice over IP or other services like that to make sure that you have a smoother experience, because stuttering it with voice over IP can be really sucky because you're going with a real-time conversation. Streaming a video off of Netflix, if you have a half-second interruption in your connection or reduction in your bandwidth, that's not a problem because it's buffering well in advance anyway. So prioritizing traffic is something that could help improve performance, especially when you get into really packed neighborhoods on big trunks like what you end up getting with cable internet, and that's not allowed under the current rules, but that is the only good argument in favor of undoing net neutrality.
Is that what they do in Korea?
What's that, traffic shape?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, they packet it out. So in countries without this kind of thing, what ends up happening is they end up charging you for pieces of the internet for an overall, a larger composite bill. So for instance, you might get a social media package and then a music streaming package. So you might overall, like say you really only just stream music and that's all you do, you would actually maybe not pay as much in some places, but some might also come with like a base standard package. It would just make it really unnecessarily complicated.
It would be like cable television, which is a mess and everybody hates. Yeah. Because everybody wants a la carte everything now, and cable companies refuse to give us that.
And that's essentially what it is. They'll package less popular things that they're contractually obligated to sell with more popular things. So you can't just get like one music streaming package. You have to buy access to all of them, even though everybody only uses like one paid one and then some free ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like it just
Peru that does that?
Portugal.
Yeah.
It did look kind of like a nightmare.
Yeah. And you don't hear a lot of positive reviews on it, like talking to people in our country with our internet providers. It's like it just doesn't anyone happy.
The biggest problem with it is it inhibits innovation.
Right.
So the one of the arguments that they use to argue for doing away with net neutrality is it will allow for ISPs to charge more specific money to build the infrastructure that's needed to actually support the internet.
I call bunk on that.
There's no evidence that that's happening anyway.
Bunko. Yeah,
we've already spent, I can't remember how
billions,
much.
$400 billion for the initial infrastructure.
Right.
Which wasn't a lot of that alone from the government in the first place. So that was us that paid for it.
Oh, right. Yeah. We paid for all the infrastructure to be there in large parts of the country. They didn't do it. They just flat out refused to do it and no one ever called them on it. And now we're getting gouged. Like, compared to how much every other country, and I know they're a lot more condensed than we are. We're a lot more rural, but still. We pay a butt ton of money, and they're still not giving us the pipes that we actually should have. So it's on them.
We're super rich, though. Like, there's no reason why we shouldn't have high-speed rail and high-speed internet, like, next to each other, going across Wyoming, like we did with the rail in the first place.
Yeah. That did also tank the economy.
We have more money now.
The Transcontinental Railroad caused the greatest depression in the history of the U.S.
Well, sure, but we could do that again.
Now, also, there was a factor that happened immediately after the Civil War, which destroyed much of the U.S. infrastructure.
Yeah,
so they turned on the History Channel. Yeah.
But we're getting off topic. But what it would greatly inhibit is the ability for new services to get out into the market.
Yeah.
If you have a special portion of the pipe dedicated to, say, Netflix, Hulu, and YouTube, which those are the three that are definitely going to be there. And somebody else wants to create a new service. Floatplane is a new service that one of the guys, or a couple of the guys from Linus Media Group are working on to create a more of a creator-centric video streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
And as an alternative to YouTube. And if they were on the normal lanes, they would never be able to actually compete with somebody that has access to the, quote, fast lane, because even though in theory it's just creating extra connections for these certain services, but no, it's comes down to the difference between, do we want to have a fast lane and a slow lane, or do we want all packets created equally?
I would prefer that everyone plays the same game instead of allowing the corporations to decide who gets how much of what based upon what they're willing and available to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of my three jobs does all of our scheduling over the internet. Now you have to have an app on your phone. Like, that's a mandatory requirement for my job now, where they only send me my stuff. They used to send us emails, but they don't even do that anymore.
Mm.
It's gotten to the point now where you need the internet to survive in the modern world, to apply for jobs. It should be nationalized. There's no reason why we should even have corporations involved in this at all. It should be fair.
I think courts are actually going to digital file only in some areas too, where you can't even toss somebody a paper copy. It's got to be filed electronically.
But why? I mean, there's no reason to create all that waste and use that paper in space when you could just have it be infinitesimally small and transfer it in the air.
For an example, I filed more than a year ago now, a claim on my late father's back Social Security payments.
Mm-hmm.
And Still haven't gotten it. One of the reasons, and it was supposed to be 3 to 4, maybe 6 months. Well, after 6 months, they had lost one of the pages. I had a copy of the original. Apparently, when I gave the guy the originals, he made me copies, two-sided copy. They must have only scanned one side. And so page 2 was missing. And so they wanted us to resubmit, but they mailed it to the first name and first address on the form, which is my oldest brother, who was in the process of moving back to Seattle from Hawaii. It took 2 months for that to get to me, and we had 2 weeks to respond.
Yeah, it's out of control.
And it was all their storm of red tape.
And it was all their fault in the first place.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, electronically, you should know within a couple of days whether something's, you know, been seen, approved, whatever. And you've got...
Oh, we see this all the time in healthcare. Oh, Everybody should be on electronic medical records program. There are some doctors who just retired rather than deal with it. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And then there are some doctors who refuse to retire and still refuse to deal with it.
Well, I mean, they'll have to quit eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were kind of hoping that the law would make them.
Yeah, their staff's probably going to force them, I'm going to guess, from if they're not
able to do
it.
Well, the future will. I mean, it's just like... You could have switched over to Betamax with everyone else, but eventually nobody else is using Betamax. You can't be the only people using paper.
Yeah, there's this little clinic out in the middle of nowhere that I'm like, well, get on your computer. And they're like, oh, well, we only have one computer. It's up front. The front desk lady uses it, and we don't know how to use it. And I'm like...
You don't know how to... Where... Who are you?
They're all, like, probably 70s.
Yeah, and I know that sucks, but... Yeah, it's just one of those things where people, I don't know, I don't understand why people aren't excited about the future. Like, you don't have to have all this paper. It's wasteful and time consuming, and you have to keep it in your attic.
Everything's instant. Like, how cool is instant? We need shit instant all the time.
I think one of the reasons why people aren't necessarily as excited about it is because of issues like we're facing right now. There are 80% of all consumers have to choose between one of 4 ISPs. That's 80% of all consumers nationwide.
And many which actively keep from competing with each other. They draw lines in the sand, yeah.
95%, I think it is. 95% of all Americans have at most 2 broadband providers.
If you're lucky.
We only have 1 broadband provider.
Yep.
They're
garbage. We also have CenturyLink, who comes around and keeps saying they've made upgrades, but they still don't offer broadband.
Yeah, it's below the broadband threshold.
They
yeah.
showed up the other day, and he's like, so have you heard about the construction in the area? And I'm like, yes, about every 6 months for 4 years now.
And
really got to get a new stick.
Complete shit, yeah.
And still not fast enough, and...
And the claim that if, say, Comcast gets to demand that Netflix pays them, an extra, say, $50 million to have access to Comcast Network to allow them to... improve the number of connections available for Netflix. That's the claim they try to float. It's complete bullshit.
It is.
Comcast has connections to the backbone. Netflix has connections to their ISP that gets them onto the backbone.
Oh, just corporate extortion. Typical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because nobody's actually connecting directly business to business. That's not how the internet works. It's networks connecting to a backbone infrastructure that's made up by, I think, 5 different providers. AT&T is actually one of the few last mile providers that also owns part of the backbone. But they're also, they used to be, you know.
Ma Bell, right?
Yeah. Like, they were Ma Bell once.
Yeah, that's a...
So that's not surprising.
Series of tubes.
Yeah,
tubes and wires.
The best case scenario is they're going to add more infrastructure for companies that pay more. Absolute best case scenario that they can afford in this circumstance. That's not what's going to happen.
I just
want
to know what Ajit Pai is getting out of this.
Well, he worked for Verizon, and he's probably going to go back there when his job's done.
Oh, that's true.
Or become a lobbyist.
Yeah, if it pays more, I don't know. Like,
it pays a lot.
He probably makes so much money as an FCC chairman right now.
I can't even imagine how much money these people have, and they need to have more by screwing everybody else over.
When you look at it, his current salary would be somewhere in the $120,000 to $150,000 a year range. His last job with Verizon was probably $500,000 at least.
Yeah, I'd be guessing that, yeah.
Because I believe he was the chief legal counsel for Verizon. Actually, no, that would have been a couple million dollars a year. So he took a huge pay cut for this. So what kind of a bonus does he get when he leaves office?
It's also possible people tend to rationalize their decisions based upon their paycheck that he actually believes it'll be beneficial. Like, just because his, so much of his capital and everything around him is, it'd be easy to believe that it's actually helping because it's building up the lives of everyone around you.
Right. Yeah.
And you would just,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not, I'm just want to say he's might not
no,
be evil.
I mean, that's,
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But the it is a capitalism thing, yeah. problem. Like 100%. That's, a, it's an issue where people want more of the treasure to pretend like they're going to make it better for other people when they're not. We already have several examples of companies basically trying to cut off things like, what was it? A couple of the phone companies tried to go after the tethering apps, which they said they couldn't do.
Oh,
and
I
they
remember
sued
that.
The FCC over it.
Yep.
And it, there's just the history, recent history of the internet is flooded with companies literally attempting to screw over one part of the world to to help with others.
Yeah, we've seen what they want to do. Like we have it very clear because of all those examples. And honestly, at when they have like completely unfettered, you know, no holds barred abilities, what's to stop them from, you know, absolutely removing voices? It would not be hard. It would not be hard for them to like remove Yelp from the internet for having bad reviews of their crappy services. Like they could do pretty much whatever they wanted to and no one could stop them.
Yeah. If you had a small,
send them to the gulag.
If you had a small ISP that was owned by some very religious people, they could try to intentionally silence atheist voices.
Yeah.
You could have people try to silence access information about vaping or marijuana or all kinds
or
of things.
Marijuana vaping.
Or marijuana vaping.
Maping.
You could have companies that are blocking access to porn because, oh, that's sinful.
Well, I mean, it takes a lot of the internet.
And
a lot
Utah
of the internet
would start another revolution.
But that's all just assuming, that's what the small companies that effectively, or in all practicality, only affect maybe 1% of the population in rural areas. It's the cable companies that don't want to have their one service compete with their other service. They're losing money on cable TV, so they want to be able to make up for that by charging extra money for cable internet so that you can use their competition.
And if you watch their profits, they're not losing any money. Like they just really want more and more money. It's not like they're failing as corporations.
No, that is the corporate mentality is, okay, we made profits over last quarter. Maintaining that's no good. You have to have more profits this quarter.
Yeah. Like they've never heard of restructuring kind of thing though. Like sometimes you have to take a step back, change your business a little bit, and then we're good for the future.
Maybe a la carte cable television channels
like people have been asking for 20 years. Yeah.
If you haven't yet, contact your congressional delegation and encourage them to pressure the FCC to not do this. Especially do this if you're in a blue state, because they're more likely to listen. If you're in a red state, maybe they might, but still do it. Atheist Nomads is probably brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's A-R-C-H-W-A-Y hosting.com. We're also brought to you by listeners just like you. You can find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads. The Malaysian deputy minister, this is at least one of the deputy ministers. He works in the prime minister's office and assists him. He is in charge of basically Islamic affairs.
Oh, you got to do it.
Right, because Malaysia is a country that is officially Islamic and officially allows for religious freedom. He has come out and said that atheism is unconstitutional.
Womp womp.
Yeah, from what I read in the article, it doesn't actually sound like that is really the case. It's
no, it's like one of our crazy Texas legislatures or somebody in Kansas.
Right.
It's just this stuff makes national news because it's
outrageous.
It's just like, why would you say that?
Yeah. And there should be a Zoolander joke in the article, I feel, because he was going to kill the Malay prime minister, but there wasn't. Otherwise, they don't really hit the radar very often, I feel. But yeah, this one, it seems kind of ridiculous.
Well, usually the basis, and this is the case for this guy, a lot of times when countries are trying to make equality in religion, what they say is you can worship however you choose. And then someone religious, like in this case, will come around and go like, yeah, but it doesn't say you can't worship. You have to pick a team. Pick our team because it's the right team, because they always normalize that stuff. But non-believers are the third largest segment of people on the planet.
Yeah, so they're not going to get bullied into picking.
There's just too many people, like, just realistically. And it doesn't even matter what country you're in. There is a significant portion of people in all advanced countries, technologically advanced countries, that are just non-religious.
Yeah, and the comment, you can't really truly have a freedom of religion without freedom from religion. It doesn't exist without that. You've got a freedom of choice, but you don't have freedom of religion. So the, like, on the outset, his comment is kind of dumb. And it is the same thing that what Christina O'Donnell tried to make famously a few years ago when she was in the limelight.
So what happened was in the 1960s, they were having race and religion riots in Malaysia, and they passed a set of principles to agree on that included the fact that Islam is the primary religion, but everybody else can practice freely. But it also did include in it that belief in God was one of the basic tenets of the country.
It's difficult. Religious people struggle very much with the idea that people could not believe. Mm-hmm. It's just hard for their worldview. And then so when people in power, it just, to them, it's just normalized the way the structure is. It's just like, well, you can't not believe. Why? Because even like, well, wasn't even Bush Sr. had said some anti-atheist right. lines. Yeah. And that wasn't that long ago in our
yeah,
country.
Yeah, no. You still hear it.
Yeah, I'm sure Trump would say something if he, I mean, I definitely know he doesn't know how to spell atheist without looking.
I actually think he has already, but there's been
so
many crazy
most
things.
Most atheists
that
don't even know how to spell it.
Oh, it's been an issue.
But I think one of the key things with this one is the fact that it was a Malaysian Muslim who said this. In Malaysia, Islam has a privileged place.
Yeah, like Christianity does here.
Except there, it is illegal to proselytize a Muslim. So
they get extras.
Christians can try to proselytize to other Christians or to Buddhists or Hindus.
But Muslims have a big old no solicitor sign.
But not Muslims. That would be illegal.
Man, that's a really smart thing to put into the law for you.
Yeah.
Which
maintain superiority. Just, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'd do that if I was given a choice.
And Islam
I'm
can,
just mean to people now.
Islam, Muslims can proselytize with Christians and Buddhists and Hindus and everybody else.
You can
else.
Go down the ladder, but not up the ladder of power. Mm-hmm. Got it.
And so I think what the fear here is Muslims not converting to other religions, but leaving Islam and becoming atheists. They don't have anything in place to stop that from happening.
It's hard to stop. It's hard to be the thought police when you can't control or read anyone's thoughts without like overly suppressing all the culture. Like it's just, and whenever these people say stuff, they just, it's just difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes back to the net neutrality thing a little bit too, which I come in this morning. If it wasn't for the internet, atheism would be much less popular right now. Mm-hmm. It would be a slower moving. It'd eventually get there, but it'd be slower moving.
Right. Because there's not that realization that there's others out there like you.
Right. And that's kind of what the thought police thing where you stymie ideas within a culture. It doesn't take very long for that kind of thing to happen.
Free information subverts faithful belief simply because faith by necessity is without knowledge. I mean, that's a biblical principle.
Right.
You know, you have to not believe to have, or not to have reasons to believe, like, because otherwise it's just a justified knowledge. Like, if there actually was a God being pulled in chariots, then that was that was the sun, you'd be able to see that, and we wouldn't question it. We're like, yeah, that's the God of the sun, but that just never happens.
Right.
Which I'm still convinced is probably the most logical religion. Sun worshiping. I get that.
That George Carlin bit. Like, that makes sense. It gives you life. It's the only reason why Earth is on postponing the second law of thermodynamics is that external source of energy. But eventually, you know, the fact that the information is free means that you're just going to have a bleed off.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why atheism is just, or other forms of non-belief in the spectrum of non-belief. Just because now my personal belief is everyone is functionally atheist. Like a lot of people give lip service to belief or go through moments of faith and belief, but almost nobody goes day to day, like thinking and being in the presence of God or what have you, except for the guys that say dumb stuff
except for the cultists. And, well, I don't know. I've met a lot of people who just, they obsess about it all the time.
Me as a college student.
Yeah, I was a super Christian when I was younger, but even I spent a lot of time playing cheap video games.
Oh, yeah.
And I was super into Christianity. I was a homeschooler. I was super into it.
Trying to figure out how to masturbate without going to hell.
No, I didn't masturbate until after I was 18. Damn. I was a super Christian. No, that's wrong. It's that's insane. Crazy. You don't do that. Yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah, hats off for that kind of, lack of muscle coordination.
All right,
it probably couldn't. Yeah,
it will. This will put a pin in it. It comes up in a later subject.
There's a new Bollywood film coming out that has made some waves. They portray a 14th...
with their arms.
No, wrong kind dance. Of waves.
They dance with their arms.
They depict a 14th century queen, Padmini, having a love affair with a Muslim invader, and the actress playing her has a bare midriff.
Oh, there's so much backstory to this story. I love
this
story.
Wait a second.
So much.
It's there's tons of bare midriffs in India.
Not for a goddess, I think.
It's a blasphemous.
She wasn't a goddess. She was a queen.
No.
It's a blasphemous retelling of a myth where they change the stories. It's like when a popular movie. Remember, Bollywood's huge. I don't think people realize how many people watch these movies and how popular they are. But it's a popular filmmaker. It's a popular actress. They did a remake of a myth, like us telling Robin Hood.
Yeah.
But this time we made Robin Hood sexy. Mm-hmm. And built upon decades of strong censorship.
Yeah.
Strong censorship for filmmakers in this region. So this is somebody calling out for literally the heads of the people who made this happen.
Oh, and so, yeah. This has especially made upset a group of people from the traditionally from the warrior caste,
hardliners
that are all hardliners, far right wing Hindu nationalists, and one
sounds
of them,
like nice people,
who is a actual member of parliament and a part of the prime minister's ruling coalition, has offered $1.5 million, not rupees, dollars, for the heads of the actress and director.
That's kind of scary. They did get shut down real quick. The country's leader came out against it. Like, a lot of the population was like, dude. And people frequently forget that India is actually the largest democracy in the world. And they have ways of handling this, but with so many people, it's just weird. It's so crazy that you could just do that in this year in a big, technologically advanced country. Be like, I'm going to pay you a lot of money. Just kill those women for me. Like,
yeah.
Take that actress and kill her.
That'd be like,
bring me her head.
Yeah.
That'd be like Ted Cruz asking for
ScarJo,
Keira Knightley's head.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, Keira Knightley. Good choice.
After the most recent King Arthur,
there it is.
Because that's a legendary tale.
You're so good at this.
Yeah, but you can't tell a story from more than 100 years back, maybe 200 years back. You can't tell a story without embellishing. And if you want it to be good, you have to embellish.
I just don't know why, when you're talking about these old stories and these myths and all these other stuff, why you would want your modern storytellers to tell them exactly the same as they did before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how you get better versions of old stuff. I know people hate the remake train, but occasionally remakes are way better, and the original form was garbage.
Yeah, the further back in history you go, the more you have to embellish because the fewer details there are. And if you're wanting it to be a good story anyway, yeah, you have to make it interesting. And update it for the time it's being told in.
And how are you going to have religious conflict in your life, in your world, where you live, and not have artists and storytellers want to play with these themes?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is the very idea of being a writer sometimes is to explore emotions and conflicts that may happen in your life through embellishment and just recreation. And through the medium of this, of storytelling, can address these things. And even if it's not, because, obviously I haven't seen the movie, but even if it's not overly that, just the fact that they have this cross-religious thing in there is going to make it, I'm going to say a lot more popular.
Yeah.
Because I know how movies work in this country.
Yeah.
And I am just, shocked and kind of stunned. I am completely on the other side of this debate. Why is it that when you want to recreate something, you have to have a bare midriff or cleavage?
I don't know. Probably just subversion for the censorship.
It's sexifying the fable. And it's like, I kind of get where they're coming from.
I get what you're saying,
same reasons. They're coming from this oppressive religious side, and I'm coming from this feminist, like, you know, a woman's power isn't all in her belly button kind of thing.
She is in the power in that relationship, though, isn't she? Isn't she?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, she's definitely like...
I only know the peripherals of that part of the story.
But
she's the great queen.
But you're not going to be able to sell a movie nowadays unless...
Well, your queen doesn't have to be sexy. Queen's I get what you're saying.
You can be sexy and still be covered up.
Fair. Yeah, 100% agree.
From what I've seen of Bollywood, the dress and the garb and everything is pretty showy these days.
Hot.
Yeah, honestly.
Well,
yeah.
That's why I was confused at first, because saris traditionally have a bare midriff. But if we're going back in time when it was a more conservative time, and they take that fashion choice and incorrectly apply it.
But I'm pretty sure with India, the modern modesty is a creation of... has been brought by Islam and the British.
Victoria.
That it's not actually native to the land.
I want
to
say I'm completely ignorant on how naked she should be historically. But I do get being a costume nerd for movies. Sometimes they do take a lot of advantage in how women especially are dressed to like spice it up a little bit. When I personally know, going back to my super Christian days, when you don't have access to a lot of things like skin, there are anything will turn you on, like a look or just like, I mean, I'm literally not joking. Ankles can be sexy. Ankles, if that's all you get.
A loose strand of hair.
That is, honestly, I'm going to say this, that's still kind of pretty hot sometimes. Like just being a dude, it's not like they got to go the extra mile costuming wise for dudes. We're just pigs.
Yeah.
But they want more money off this movie. So they're going to do what they...
Filmmakers! I don't know. Yeah, it's also interesting that we hold filmmakers to such an interesting standard when they're just basically making us escapism.
Yeah.
In Bollywood, it's fun. And one of the things that makes Bollywood so great is a lot of their movies are fun.
Yeah, they are.
Their dancing is amazing. Their musicals are brilliant.
Have you seen Sing Hum?
I may have seen clips.
Oh my god, Sing Hum is... it's a parody of this cop.
That guy is just a mega and cop, like every 80s
he's just crazy
action hero trope. Oh yeah,
throws like a car over. Oh my god!
But we make the Fast and the Furious movies. Like this is just we just do it with cars. Yeah. We just have more money.
We
than
just
they
don't
do.
Have as much dancing.
All right, let's go ahead and keep moving. More than 300 people are now dead in a attack on a mosque in Egypt.
Well, that's a gear change.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Somebody wanting to kill people to somebody actually succeeding at killing people.
This is just really bad.
It was a ISIS-linked group or at least ISIS-aligned group in the Sinai Peninsula. They attacked a mosque during Friday prayers, and between guns and bombs...
They recently handed over 300. I'm checking the news right now as of recording to see if we have anything new. 305
yeah,
as
well.
Yeah,
that's the last I saw as well. Yeah. So that I've just gone to more than 300. This is absolutely terrible.
That is.
Including 24 children.
Why would they attack themselves?
No group has claimed responsibility as of yet. I mean, as of the recording of this thing, we just don't have the information.
No, I've just... that's been a question for a couple of years now. Why is ISIS spending time... attacking Muslims?
Sometimes it's because they don't have the purity.
I get it, but it's just like, it seems like you're going for the wrong end of the stick there.
if you're in a Muslim majority country, assume the violence is Muslim on Muslim. If you're in a Christian majority country, assume the violence is Christian on Christian.
Oh yeah, there's no greater enmity than the religions that are almost equal.
Yeah,
they really do like to kill people who almost believe the exact same as they do. It's one of the worst traditions of the religious community.
Yeah, that classic emo Phillips joke. What type of Catholic, you know, or Protestant or what?
You know how much I love that guy. He is so great as a person.
Oh, yeah. And it is definitely clear looking at the time that there will be bonus patron content this week.
So much patron content.
There is going to be much, like... stories and longer segments for segments.
Sorry for your editing. Giving me all this editing work, but
oh, I was going to do it anyway.
You keep giving them beer; they're never going to go away.
It's true. Yeah.
That's Gary that brought line. The beer.
Yeah. I could take it with me, but I'd rather stay here.
All right, it is time for another break, and then we have some feedback. We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads. Send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, Or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice. So one disadvantage of having a rotating cast of people on the show is that when you get feedback about something said on one episode, the group of people that's going to be there for recording on the next one is likely different. And if you offended somebody, odds are not everybody involved is going to be available to respond.
Yeah, like the last time I was here, I had to deal with your two guys' stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you had to apologize, D.
Well, but I also, as host of the show, I take full responsibility for anything and everything said on the show.
Respectful.
With the exception of interviews. Because with an interview, it is about what the person being, the views of the person that is being interviewed is the point of that show. Even if those views are a little weird, sometimes it can be good to have. I'm thinking of the episode with Republican Atheists. I thought that was a valuable bit of terrible things.
valuable,
important to know, but yeah. Yeah, I got you.
You can't be held accountable for the opinions of other people.
Right.
I mean, but it's not like you're publishing hate speech.
The things that are being said on the show in a normal discussion, because I can interrupt, I can correct, and I can edit it. I do always take full responsibility.
That's very adult of you.
It is.
I like that.
It is, until you forget to tell somebody on the show that was maybe involved that this whole thing went down.
Yeah, I found out the hard way.
And then they find out the hard way weeks later, and we're probably sitting there thinking that we hate them
No. Actually, so,
or it's all their faults.
Yeah, I was behind on podcasts, and I never listened to my own, so the first one I listened to was after me. I think it was the one after that where Mikey came on.
Hi.
And then there's they started off with an apology. I'm like, oh man, what the hell happened? And so I started listening and started talking about some of the things that were said. And Alice was the one who brought it up. I'm like, fuck, that's my podcast.
Oh my gosh. And
that's
the
one I was on.
It was just a few days ago that somebody mentioned Gary finding out.
Oh, Kylie probably. Yeah.
Kylie mentioned that Gary had found out and he was kind of upset about it. I'm like, oh, we forgot to tell Gary. Oh, but my God.
Valuable lesson.
But it's totally, it's okay on my end. Of course, you guys not telling me, but I felt like shit, of course, my actions.
That
was terrible.
Bad of us to not even.
Well, and we got to work it out in the air, too.
Right, I heard that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
It wasn't about me. I was just there for it.
Yeah.
It still haunts me a little.
Oh, no, you handled it great. I think you really did come clean on how you felt about it.
Absolutely. We should have given Gary a heads up on that. And I cannot get over
it. It's public apology.
I do apologize now, especially to Alice, who was the one who brought it up, and everyone else. You can't stop your words, or you go back and take them back. And as I was listening to myself, because that's the first time I'd ever listened to my podcast, a podcast I was on, I'm like, fuck.
Yep, that happens.
It's weird because a lot of times people give feedback. They don't have to do that. Most times they just leave.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
no, that's why we super appreciated it.
Yeah, she was so direct and so by time marking everything and
it was absolutely
wonderful. Like
perfect
she did as good as you can possibly.
It was well
annotated. Yes.
I think you
all right. So we have some fresh bit of offended listener.
Okay.
This time from episode 222, and Mary was on for that one, and she's not here today. But I again think this one where Mikey is going to be perfect to help respond to.
Oh my God.
I just want to get brought on for these episodes.
So, can I bring the last one?
Is this like a thing?
Oh, I'm so ready for this.
This
but I'm
came
let
in
Lauren
after
go
we
first.
Got you lined up.
Therapy. Right? I know.
Okay, so I'm going to read the email. Excuse me, I'm a gay guy, but listening to episode 222.
Say that first sentence again. It's super important.
Right?
I'm going to struggle through this.
He is gay.
As a gay man.
He's a gay man.
Anytime anybody starts the sentence as a blank anything, go ahead.
Episode 222 leaves a bad taste in my mouth. If these points were addressed in later podcasts, I haven't heard them yet. They weren't. Quotes in relation to men, they're the enemy. Boys are gross things, men are inherently untrustworthy. Jeez. Don't remember any of those?
No.
At all?
This
pretty confident those weren't actually said on the show at all. Anyway, back to his email.
Keep going.
I have an adult niece who chooses to wear what I consider sexy clothing. I find myself glancing at her naughty bits to decide whether I need to suggest she tuck those puppies away. If I wore similar clothing, I'd not really be surprised to see people ogling my moobs. If I wore assless chaps, I'd expect some reasonable amount of staring. If I had my forehead tattooed with a penis, I'd just be inviting attention. I see a short time frame shifting of acceptable standards in society. I don't disagree with the direction, but castigating people for their upbringing isn't helpful. I was stupid and ignorant sounds like a line from a religious conversion video. There's no excuse to not know better comes across as being superior to all those that came before you. There's a real Puritan streak working its way through the U.S. right now, complete with witch hunts. Please try not to victimize men as a whole. Cheers, Andrew.
Okay, that last one, too. Could you read that last one?
Please try not to victimize men as a whole.
Okay, so...
this is your first not all men feedback. That's all this is.
That's all this is, God. And it is great.
I went, I went to make sure this guy didn't give you guys money at the bottom of your list.
Nope.
Because I don't... you know, charisma teaching teaches us to say, I see your point of view. Mm-hmm. But the last time I saw from this guy's point of view, my head was literally all the way up my own asshole.
Yeah.
Like, first, Laura, I really want you to have the first words on this because you're a woman and I'm going to bury this motherfucker.
Like, which is why we're so glad that you're on the show today, because I
mean, if
read
you just want
this,
me to do it, I will. I need your opinion.
This was, the wind was knocked out of me when I read this. God. I'm like, no, not one of our listeners, surely, actually is going to pull this off. But yeah, it was definitely, as a gay man, was the first tip off. It's like, oh, okay, well, you have an alternative lifestyle, and we like to get opinions from that. And then you read the next couple sentences, and you're like, you, as a gay man, think that you have an opinion about women's issues that anybody's going to listen to?
Yeah, it's just, dudes do this, and I'm sorry, just as a queer here, you don't get to bring in your queer card to women's issues. That's not the same card.
It's
a different card.
It's a different conversation.
Like, if you're a dude, no, it's just no. It's just like, you might as well just say, as a corgi, I have an opinion about women's issues. That's how much it matters.
Yeah, that's how I heard it.
Yeah, and it's difficult because a lot of the gay movement has been focused on white gay men, and they still feel like their voice as mostly white, and I'm assuming this person's white. I'm sorry if I'm wrong on this one, but this is the kind of shit that white dudes say.
Yes.
So yes, please continue.
And then going on to the judging of his niece's attire, looking at her naughty bits, sexy clothing, it's got a huge creep factor, for one. I understand that as a possible parental-like unit, what he was trying to say, but it just came across as really, really distasteful.
100%.
That here we are struggling in a society where women can express themselves in a certain way and be okay with it, but if they go too far, then they get shut down completely.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what this guy is doing to his niece. It's you can go up to a certain point, but as a man, if I'm offended by what you're wearing, you've got to shut it down.
Here's my problem with his phrasing. He does this thing first that was actually recently addressed. I can't remember. A lot of the late night shows talked about this one. Is he's doing a thing that Fox News always does. He makes a statement. Hey, men, blah. Then he does a, but what about? So right off the bat, who gives a shit? At no point in the conversation of how scummy men are just in general does it have anything to do with women. He does no correlation or causation that has anything to do with what he calls his adult niece. So literally what this dude says is, I'm a gay man, so I stare at the bits of my niece so that I, as a man, can tell my adult relation when and what she can wear. So his whole conversation is, I'm not scum. I make sure that an adult woman in my life dresses appropriately. That is literally everything he just said in one sentence.
And then follows it with, she deserves any backlash due to her poor decisions.
He pulls it back into him. He doesn't even, first of all.
I'm sorry, dude. This conversation was not about you.
Or her.
Or her.
It's so
ridiculous. Or even people like you.
It's so ridiculous that first off, we don't know who she is and how she identifies, what her age is as an adult. I get it. Okay, so I'm 40 and I have teenage nieces, and one of them is 18. So she's a grown ass woman legally, but she's not a grown ass woman yet. But the thing is as her adult male, my rights literally are non-existent. I'm her uncle. If we don't have a talking relationship, the best thing that I can do is nothing. But if we have a personal relationship, it'd be like my relationship with you. At what point do I, who know you, an adult woman, do I get to tell you, hey, maybe you should throw a bra on because we could see your nipples? Well, who gives a shit? They're just nipples. Like, not only does it have nothing to do with the conversation, he's making himself more wrong every time he adds words to what he's saying. Because it's literally like, A, you have nothing to say to this woman. B, we know nothing about this woman. So she's not even contextualized into the conversation. Men aren't scum because this woman that I know occasionally dresses what I would consider slutty. That's literally the first half of his whole conversation. It's really frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. It's way off topic.
So what I think was kind of interesting is in how, and we did talk about the general topic a little bit more. I believe it was one or two episodes later with Aaron. And it has been, it's interesting to see where the conversation that we've had on the show has gone on the topic of men being shitty to women.
Yeah, because they are constantly all the time.
And as this guy just proved.
Specifically, yeah, like, what
we've been alive. We know that. Yeah.
The only error I made, which I'm kind of glad I didn't, is in not specifying we're talking about straight men.
And we're not, because we also know gay men.
Yeah.
Men are just in. So a lot of it's a construct. The problem with guys is they don't know it. Like, this is a not all men post. He just wrote an email instead of, or left you a message instead of typing it on Facebook, which is where I usually see this, typically under the comments of female comedians. For instance, this is a thing that's been happening the last couple of days. Popular female comics on the coast have been posting things like men are scum, which Facebook immediately removes as hate speech. However, and this is like Ray Sani, who is a late night television writer. She's a woman of color. She's brilliantly funny and she's super aggressive as a female comedian comedy writer would be right now. And people literally have sent her message with the N-word in it, like literally like get effed N-word. She sends that to Facebook and Facebook goes, this doesn't violate anything in our community policies. She sends those screen caps and puts them on the internet. Facebook then bans her and gives her a 30-day ban.
Yeah.
These guys, however, so this will happen to her, and all these women are saying are things like, well, men are scum. Now, as a person who's not scum, you would be, your first inclination should be, well, why do so many women feel that way? But what ends up happening is you have a lot of people who don't process that. They just go, well, I don't do that. I only stare at the naughty bits of my niece, so I should speak up for all good dudes everywhere. Like, literally, he outs himself as a weirdo in his demand that we stop treating men like weirdos.
Yeah.
And it's so normal that he read that and then hit send. Sober. He spelled good words in here.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's not hammered like I am when I write these emails. He is sober.
It doesn't happen on this show very often when two women can just kind of go off on their insecurities. And because we, it just doesn't come up that often. But this was following the Me Too movement. It was a big deal.
It is a big deal, yeah.
Mary and I just kind of, we got some stuff off our chests. And it sucks that this was a reaction.
Every man listening, and I assume all but Andrew did this, should have responded the way I did. Shut the fuck up and listen.
Wise.
This wasn't about you guys. Sorry.
Or it is. In which case, shut the fuck up and listen anyway.
And learn.
Don't do what I do.
in that conversation, I mostly kept my mouth shut.
You're so
Most
smart.
Of the places I spoke up, I edited it out because it did not add anything to the conversation.
Look at you.
Because this was not about me. It was about...
It wasn't about some random gay guy.
And it was even more not about adult women alive today. This was two women pregnant with daughters talking about the world they're bringing little girls into.
Super important. It's more than half of the population. And it's insane to me that we get so much pushback on dudes who are just unwilling to accept the reality of what women have to go through every day.
So I mean, a part of me is like, just keep it under wraps. You're going to lose a listener.
Yeah, and you're going to, because we should finish this dude off.
And
we're not even a good one.
No, and then there's the other part of me is like, no, that's bullshit. This guy's attacking you for something you said that you had every right to say.
And you do.
So, yeah.
Well, and one of the things that's been interesting for me is since the point when we actually started being able to pocket some of the money the show makes, there has been a...
You guys bought me dinner once. That was pretty cool.
We're buying you a flu shot.
We're buying you a flu shot.
They're $20 at Costco. I found the best deal.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
But
they're buying me a flu shot for the baby. Aren't you guys? Aren't these sweet?
I got concerned about saying something that might offend a listener, or even more importantly, a supporter. And I have gotten tired of that.
You can't make them all happy.
And
obviously,
I have made a semi-conscious effort to hold back less. And it's been easier to do with actually having everybody in the same room. It's a lot easier to have a face-to-face conversation where it's a more of a free flow of ideas. And we're pissing some people off and we're hearing about it. And I kind of like that.
I really want to go through the rest of this before we...
It's time to finish it off.
Yeah, okay. So then right after he does all this, hey, I stare at my niece so I'm not a creepy weirdo. He goes, he then redirects it back to himself. And he says things like, if I wear similar clothing, well, who gives a shit? Women can wear whatever they want to, and so can you. I'm wearing fingernail polish and earrings right now. Like, you can do that if you want to, and people can have opinions. But here's the thing, I don't give a shit. And I guarantee you, she doesn't care what her weird, creepy uncle thinks about her naughty bits in the first place.
Yeah.
And the worst thing he could do is tell her to put those things away. Like, I hope she's old and woke enough to just basically tell this old weirdo to go fuck himself. And if he's not old, he's acting like an old weirdo. And if he were, and after this, he tries to go for visuals, talks about dicks on his head and assless chaps. And here's the thing. There are dudes that dress like that. And you know what? They get to do that. It doesn't have to be in your space, but there's a lot of gay spaces and queer spaces where people are allowed to express themselves in those places. And it's fine. It doesn't hurt anybody.
Where it's not fine, I would figure that there's more of a camaraderie there, because women wearing something more revealing and gay men who are wearing things that are more revealing get treated pretty unfairly. So we should be batting for the same team here, not disagreeing. And
if you go to a gay bar wearing assless chaps, that's not an invitation for anybody to just come up and fuck you without saying a word.
Consent is complex in a lot of queer space, gay spaces. This is going back to gay males and their dominated spaces. But the queer spaces that exist now, there is a huge intersectionality spectrum. A lot of women, a lot of queer women, a lot of trans and non-binary people. And what we are is we're just careful. When I was recently at the Queer Comedy Festival up in Portland, I was lucky enough to be exposed to all the time, because it's a great thing. It was the only one so far in the nation. And they were great to have me on. But the cool thing is all the spaces I was in. You know, my headliner might be one of my headliners was a Native American lesbian who had performing comedy a long time. She integrated music into her stuff. She was very low key, salt of the earth, great person. And then I worked with other queers that were non-binary. Their clothing and gender were not immediately apparent. And what you did in those spaces is you became more accommodating, more friendly. I never had to ask anybody what their preferred pronouns were, but I was ready to. And while some people might think this is like a big deal, it's not. You're just hanging out with other people. Like, how often does my gender come up in conversation? Like, it just doesn't. When we talk about men being garbage, we're talking about the culture of men and the culture of manhood.
And specifically straight men.
They are the ones that lead it because they're at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
But you could see this like with the George Takei stuff and some of the stuff that followed him. When we reference like 80s culture, and I was actually part of a specific part of gay culture where being physically aggressive was more welcome within the space, within certain gay bars at certain time periods. And a lot of people who existed, who many had more experience than me, because as a bisexual male, I didn't always feel necessarily accepted into a lot of these gay spaces. Now they've evolved, quite frankly, because we allow women to run more stuff. But when it was just, this is just my personal experience in this one, but if it's run by a community and a lot of those leaders are women, those women are more accommodating for all the slices of pie that people are. So like if it's run by some lesbians, and I think the one I want to say was a gay guy and a lesbian that ran the thing, but the sheer amount of just how nice everyone was great. In the world at large, however, we exist in pockets. So when a person like me deals with these male issues, I have to then identify my maleness and where my issues are. And what keeps me from becoming this guy is I don't start from a place of thinking I'm doing better. I have to honestly, now luckily for me, I went on this journey of being pushed super far to the left before all this stuff became huge. So I was ahead of the curve. A lot of my problematic jokes or my opinions existed before Facebook, and I grew through it. And I'm very cognizant of that fact. But at the very end, when this guy closes it off, he says this: I see a short time frame shifting of acceptable standards. A, I don't know what the fuck that means. What in the world is a short time frame shifting?
Well, within 5 years, within a year.
I just don't know what the phrasing means. What is a short time frame shifting means? Like, it's a short shift? Is it? I don't get it. And then I don't disagree with the direction. Thanks, Andrew. But castigating people for the upbringing isn't helpful. I don't think that happened. I didn't even listen to this episode because I have a real hard time catching up on podcasts too. But at no point, I'm sure, you guys were like, well, you were raised Christian, so you're stupid. Like, you guys never say that on this podcast.
I did say that I've been a part of the problem in the past,
which is where I was stupid and ignorant, which is fine.
Yeah.
But the real issue that I have is finally at the very end, there's a real Puritan streak working its way through the U.S. We want people to do better. That's not Puritan. Puritan is wanting people to not touch each other sexually.
Or to make women put away their naughty bits.
Right. Complete with witch hunts. Listen, it's not a witch hunt if you're surrounded by witches. Like, that's just pointing at witches that live with you. Like, these guys act like, and we can even go back to his, he outed himself as a weird creepo when he talked about how he polices his niece by staring at her naughty bits. And I know he probably doesn't do this all the time because he's gay, but he does notice them and then make a moral judgment on what she's doing. And then at the very end says, hey, don't judge us for doing those things. This is a very self-defensive post. I feel like our friend, our used-to-be listener, he feels like he's justified in making these decisions because his maleness supersedes his queerness, and he feels like men have an opinion on how women comport themselves in reality. And I just want to recenter this idea that women own their bodies and how they're presented, and whatever the fuck they want to do with them is not up to any man on this planet and anywhere on any spectrum, be they straight or queer. And if women want to start going around topless, the fuck are you going to do about it, boys? Like, what? You just bitch and moan. What is it? Die angry. I don't care. Women own themselves, and we need to get past this part of our society where men get to have these conversations and we don't immediately laugh at them. I know this will probably upset a few people that we've had this conversation, but you chose this with me being here.
Yes.
And it is, I'm sorry, I'm totally dominating this, but it's such a struggle because I watch this constantly. I get in these arguments and these fights with these dudes, and I appreciate you guys picking the right side on this one.
Yeah, no, I appreciate. And I have not been in the game long enough to be able to put my thoughts into words. You know, I
you're welcome.
So Mikey's basically the culture. Well, so that's
a great voice on this.
I thought was going to be awesome with it is
take right, a breather, man. Take
what
a
can
breather.
I say as a straight guy other than shut up and listen to women? And we were specifically talking about straight men being the problem.
Yeah, because they're the ones that scare the women.
You as a queer man can speak to a queer man in a way that as a straight man can't.
He just needs to take your queer card out of it, dude. You're a dude deciding what a woman should do with her body, and that's just wrong. And I know you don't see that, or you probably. I hope you're still listening. You're really rude. I really want to be accommodating to the fact that I used to have my head also stuck up my ass. And I'm not saying that too negatively, because you can just pull your head out of your ass, wipe the shit out of your eyes, and move forward. Like, it sucks. But that's what we as a community need to do.
I mean, that's true. It's not like I could, you know, this Andrew guy, I want him to go drive off a cliff or something.
No, definitely not the worst.
No, this is just, you hurt my feelings, basically. You hurt me, you hurt women in general, And if you can take that to heart and shift your beliefs towards a more positive way, then this whole tirade was worth it. If you feel like we are attacking you specifically,
you can just message me at Mikey Pullman on any format and we can talk. I honestly mean this, if you guys really have questions, you can just message me directly. Like, it's so quick. I will respond. Bottom line, dudes, shut the fuck up about women's issues. Unless it's to literally say women get to make up women's issues.
Yeah. 5 years on this podcast. Let us have an episode or two. Come on. Shit.
I think, you know, it's great. I love that you're outspoken. But what can you really say? Like, when these guys have this position of, I already have a seat of judgment at the table. Like, I don't know. I'm still struggle with this concept a lot because every post, and this happened today, a very popular, Latina comedian who does a lot of really nerdy stuff called Dani Fernandez. She lives in LA and she does all sorts of cool stuff. And she really pushes for getting more queers and people of color and especially women of color on things because, you know, they really, cause it's just an underrepresented part of our thing. And she posted a thing on this very same issue on about men being problematic. There is every post, every time, always one dude that's got to come in like this and be like, well, not all guys. And it's like, yeah, no, yeah. We say all guys.
Talking about the culture in general.
Just,
not...
yeah. Because it is. It's just, it's so many. When a woman meets a man, she literally has to, she really is just playing the roulette wheel. And if it comes up 00, she dies. Like, just death is on the table for women, which is something that men don't even realize. Like, I'm not going to get stabbed walking down the road 900 million times out of 900 million and one. But a woman is going to be sexually assaulted by the end of the year. Like, somebody's going to say something or do something. If she puts herself out there, she is affected by men. And men refuse to accept our part in how other dudes do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I could talk about this thing for another half an hour, but it's super frustrating that guys don't understand how little our opinion matters. Even me barking in the window, none of it matters. Women are the leaders in this because it's their lives. And we're still trying to play catch up. And men, if you want to be an ally in this, you need to be vocal in telling everybody, men and women, that women are in charge of what happens to women.
Well, and with the short time frame shifting of acceptable standards in society, that is in a short time period. The standards are shifting from being controlled by men to being controlled by everyone.
Closer to it, at least, I think.
It's shifting that direction. It's shifting towards women having the right to own destiny.
Jumping frog here and going straight to a women's superiority.
I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with it, but
it is important for that to happen for the discussion to be happening. And the more we discuss it, the better that shift can happen. And well, he brought the discussion back on the show.
And it's not going to be clean. And that's the problem is people have a lot of insecurities about this, but it's going to happen in spurts. And like when you have all these sexual assault allegations, we just know right off the bat from the percentages of allegations.
All right. I think we've beat that.
That's
in the
great.
Ground.
Yeah. No, it's just a subject that we can go around in circles on because it's super important. I mean, I hope he finds his way out of that closet that he's in. It just sucks that we leave ourselves in so many closets with this stuff. You got to keep opening doors. Come out, be a better person. You can do it. We all can do it.
Yes.
All right. Now we're going to do a lightning round on the last four.
Okay. Intersexualist rant complete.
And well done.
There is a man who told Dr. Phil on his show that he might have to kill his son to protect his wife and other children. Why? Because his 12-year-old has exhibited traits of demon possession since he's 2 and needs an exorcism. If that fails, he'll kill his son.
Oh my God.
I was shocked that Dr. Phil came on the right side of this one, as in not believing him, but the fact that this guy exists and his thoughts exist.
And his producers put him on the show after he said he was going to say that on the air.
Yeah.
Like,
You
forgot the pageantry of television.
Yeah, primetime gold.
This was Dr. Phil, not Jerry Springer.
Mm. Yeah.
So, well, I don't really hold one
garbage.
Over the other.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have more respect for Jerry Springer than Dr.
Well, but
Phil.
Jerry Springer, the whole point of the show is to be shocking.
Yeah. This is just irresponsible.
But it sounds like the kid's got a good mom, or at least better than the dad, and that's a pretty good thing. And hopefully the kid gets some help, because it does sound like he needs some help.
Yeah.
But not a damn priest to give an exorcism.
Yeah, exorcism. No. There's a lot of, oh my God, there are so many reasons why a two-year-old would start exhibiting violent or angry behavior, and there are, why wait 10 years to address it?
Okay, so the dude's ex-wife says the kid's just mentally ill. So the dude's ex-wife, the mom of this child, isn't crazy. The father has decided, and when you look at the quotes, the things they actually said on the air, the stacking glass around the mother's neck while she was sleeping, he said was dangerous. But when they asked the boy, what were you doing? He literally said, making mama pretty. And you guys are about to have a kid, but let me tell you what, they're dumb as hell. And oh, yeah. They're going to say stuff that is both cute and stupid all the time.
Yeah.
And occasionally terrifying.
Yeah, and the idea of trying to make mama pretty isn't like why he literally, his only thought is I'm helping mom. Mm-hmm. That's something we should encourage. He'll figure out the rest of the details later. It just, the guy's crazy. He's in that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And this is how mentally ill children were taken away from their parents and tortured and treated like shit for years. Anyway. It's like this backwards thought that people who are mentally ill are somehow being demon possessed or inferior or
possession has long been used to silence everything from women speaking up for themselves to kids we don't like. I mean, it's just, when I was a kid, my parents said I had an evil spirit. That was just their terminology for they had in the church. And then when I moved out,
you're being difficult.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm stubborn, but also, my home life was bananas and it was just normalized. I didn't even realize till years after I left home, how crazy my upbringing really was. And it took me a long time to admit that because you always know of worse living and you're always like, well, it's not the worst thing I've ever heard of. Yeah. But other people, it's like, since doing stand-up, I will just drop minor facts about my life in part of my act and people, it actually stops them from laughing because they're still trying to catch up with like, wait, that's a real story. Like,
yeah,
people
that,
lived like that.
Yeah. That's,
and that's just how that is. And this guy did this in real life. Like, he always put the Jesus stuff on the baby and the kid growing up, he spanked him. He tried really other harsh means to control this evil spirit that my parents also believed in. And then incidentally, when I moved out, that evil spirit moved into my sister's, and my sister's fiance, the younger ones, and they kicked her out when she was 17 because she had an evil spirit. And then granted, that's not killing your child to protect your family, but you're on the same freeway.
Yeah.
Well, who is he protecting if she's already an ex?
If anyone's possessed, it's that guy.
Yeah.
And in his mind, being that presumably conservative Christian, there is no such thing as divorce.
Right.
Yeah, it was a real struggle for my dad. Now, my dad left my mom. He should have. I'm not speaking in terms of the other one of them. But my mother is extremely abusive and narcissistic behaviors and stuff like that. I know she's never really been officially diagnosed, but she really does try to control people emotionally. And it took a long time for my dad to get that because of his religion. Because my dad's a man of strong faith, and he didn't think he was supposed to do that. It really had to get to a very untenable position where he just physically couldn't stay there anymore. And it's difficult. And I really feel for people, men and women, apparently, who feel trapped in relationships because of the judgment of both their faith and their God on them staying in an abusive relationship.
Yeah. There are articles coming out now about how in evangelical circles, it is actually common for young girls to court older men. Such as would have been potentially the case in some of Roy Moore's exploits.
I read this article. It's from a leftist Christian blogger who, when she started to get popularity, started writing more on the issues. Did you guys read this one?
I did not read all of it.
So essentially what she's saying, and I can't speak to the accuracy of all of this from my own evangelical
experience.
This is
why Mikey talks more too, is because he actually preps.
Yeah, I told you. I'm super interested in all this stuff. Yeah. So essentially what she's saying is in some evangelical circles, we really push abstinence. We really push marriage. I personally got married after my fiance was 18 for 2 days. She was 18. I was 19. And my dad did the marriage. Like, it is so, like, literally the path is leave home, get married. Mm-hmm. And because it's primarily supposed to be a sexless relationship, we don't stress out as much in some evangelical circles if my teenage daughter dates a man in his young 20s. Because as a 40-year-old, I know a 20-year-old is also pretty much barely better than a 16-year-old.
Right.
Barely.
Stupid.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's not their fault.
Sorry, guys. Women and everybody.
Yeah, don't you have to apologize.
No matter how old you are, you're still stupid.
Yeah, it's just a human thing. You just haven't had the time to acquire wisdom. And if you're in these oppressive cultures, you don't know anything. So in some evangelical cultures, it's encouraged. The woman who wrote this posted it on Twitter, and some celebrities even retweeted it, including Felicia Day. And a lot of women were coming through with their own experiences of 14-year-olds going on junior, senior dances with 24-year-olds, which is a really obscene space for me to be comfortable with. And it's supposed to be sexless, but we also know statistically that abstinence teaching doesn't keep people from having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because I know I didn't, because I had zero access. Like, the junior, senior stuff I had a lot of people around. You know, being a 17 or an 18-year-old who had been homeschooled since puberty, you don't really have any moves anyway. Like, even going to church camp, nothing happened for me.
No,
it's fine. I'm totally fine with it now. But that I can get where they're coming from. And it's not to even excuse the Moore stuff. It's to help explain why the people around Moore didn't speak up as much.
Or and why they are still defending him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, well, yeah, because it's sexless. The grossest thing he did was seek contact outside of relationships, which, you know, we culturally, of course, still have a problem with. But we're not as much big with the issue because we expect women to get married. We expect them to get married right away in these circles. And we expect to get married very young and to men who can provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
So your 18-year-old daughter dating, or 17-year-old daughter dating a person that she's going to marry when she's 18 isn't weird. And if that person already owns a house because he's 30, well, then she's just going to have a house to live in where she's going to start having kids. These people really, like, they're not to Mormon levels of having family. But in here in Idaho, evangelicals and Mormons, they match each other for kids a lot of the time.
Yeah, they do.
It's just having kids is just part of the thing. And it's not like, and these are just pockets too. Obviously, in defense of a lot of evangelicals, a lot of adults get weird when teenagers date grown men. I'm like, that's just a weird thing. But it does excuse why some people don't care that a grown-ass man was dating teenagers.
It's true. It's a different culture.
It's just weird. Also, and just as a side note, there is some blaming to the teenage girls for being aggressive in some defenses in some of these cases. Well, she was aggressive towards me. And I'll tell you this, as a grown-ass man who's been single a lot of my life, you could say no. Mm-hmm. I don't care how old she is or how hot she is. You can tell her no. Like, you don't have to want to say no. That's fine. You're human. You got a body.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell her no.
Like, I remember in, like, 14, 15, I had friends who were, I was consider them to be aggressively sexual.
I'm all about sex positivity too.
And they were
But
the ones who were most likely to end up with a teen pregnancy. And
but when you're 25 and you're at some event and there's a 15, 16-year-old girl flirting with you, you ignore it.
Yeah, pretty easy.
And if it gets there, aggressive, you leave.
Well, what the defense that they gave me in super Christian circles was they convinced me that women lie or could lie about you raping them, which would send you to jail the rest of your life. Now, as a grown man with access to actual statistics, the reverse is true. Mm-hmm. She can yell about it from the mountaintops, and they're just going to be like, well, we're just going to throw your rape kit away in 6 months anyway, so and good luck with that.
Even if that's true, easy response to that, if you're an adult man, don't be alone with underage girls.
Or you could just comport yourself like a normal grown-up and not stare at your niece's naughty bitch.
I'm thinking about way back when, you know, end of junior high and early high school, where these guys who were in their 20s, they were just shitbags. They were just, they didn't care because they wanted to get laid.
But that's that culture thing again. They
and
only think about
it's
sex.
It's the person over 21 who brings the booze to the underage party hoping to get some 16-year-old to sleep with them,
which we blame her for. We use phrases like giving it up. It's not like, because sex in real world is something you do with another person,
and some of these girls wanted it.
And that's fine, but once again, if you're the adult, you make the decision, and that's okay.
And
No, I'm saying this is a 40-year-old man and not a 25-year-old idiot.
Right.
But, yeah. Like, I know now that in normal scope of human events, you're going to run into people who find you attractive. It's always bizarre. I've never not been confused when someone new found me attractive. But there have been scenarios and times, like you're in a relationship that's not open, or that's not a thing you can do, or you might be getting into a relationship and that makes you uncomfortable, like it does me, where you just explain or avoid, yeah, or whatever, or leave. You just, yeah, get up and leave, like you said. Just be like, oh, this girl looks underage and she's getting uncomfortably close to my privates. I'm going to get up and leave the room or the house.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that sucks, but I would much rather text a brother or a friend and be like, hey, your cousin was trying to jump on my dick last night, and I think she's 16, so I had to bail. And he'd be like, yeah, she's like that. Sorry. And that's the whole conversation. Now you're not a weirdo.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yeah, sorry.
Well, speaking of weirdos, Blackfriars Priory School in Adelaide, Australia is a Catholic boys' school that just got a new statue. This was Saint Dominic handing a loaf of bread to a young boy.
I really thought the loaf of bread in the statue was one of the stones from, Temple of Doom?
Okay.
Like, it looked like one of those, the stones with the marks across it.
But if you look at the positioning of it, these part of the stone closest to the man was definitely in the groin area.
It looked like a stubby dick.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm granted the people who took the photographs who posted on the internet made it look like that, but
it does.
Like he's holding it down on his groin and there's a kid reaching for it. And that should have been done by now.
Yep. Poorly.
So they covered it up.
They literally threw a tarp over it.
Yeah.
Well, that's better.
Like the actual church.
But you can't just point that kind of thing out and then not cover it up. Be like, and this guy's holding his dick.
No, you recommission the piece and get rid of it.
Hammer it down. Yeah, you know, I guess.
Have his hand out or something. I mean, I'm sure there is something that they can do there.
You know, it's not like you can't make new statues. It's a Catholic school. They've got extra statues somewhere.
They got plenty of money to make some new ones,
too. Got a room,
too.
Probably.
Room of statues. Room of rejected pedo-style statues.
Mad Mike Hughes is a 61-year-old limo driver who has recently been convinced of the definite truth of flat eartherism.
Yeah, he doesn't believe in science, he says.
Yes, but yet he has taught himself rocket engineering and has
no
built
science.
Such a great segue. However, yes.
And built himself a steam-powered rocket.
Steam.
Which he plans to launch at least 2,000 feet into the air so that he can take pictures and prove that the Earth is flat
from
and on a disc.
2,000 feet in the air. Oh my God. The only reason this guy's even newsworthy is because he's so, so off base.
And then, of course, the place he was planning on launching it
die.
Is actually BLM property.
Oh, good Lord.
And so the BLM, because it was scheduled for Saturday, the day of we're recording this, and the BLM said, no, you can't do that. So
we're not going to let you commit suicide for some
property. We're not going to clean up your guts anytime soon, dude. Point in another direction.
Okay, he's already done a launch of a self-made rocket, and they had to rescue him from the wreckage.
Yeah, that seems like the next thing that would happen.
It took him months to walk after that. And he's trying again.
Next time.
This is like, seriously, like a Captain Ahab level of bullshit. Like his obsession to prove the Earth is flat.
Yeah. It's going to kill him.
I'll never understand the flat earthers.
Yeah, I hope he has a Wile E. Coyote kind of sign.
This is a mental illness of some sort. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll make one up.
What's especially crazy with this is he thinks he can prove it by going 1,800 feet in the air.
Funny,
so basically
the first
part of a plane takeoff.
Yeah.
Just the first segment before they even leave the airport.
Long before they start leveling off.
I mean, we have high school students who are sending cameras up to space in weather balloons
as experiments
all the time. Just follow the little Lego man.
And if you could prove it from 2,000 feet, how about 43,000 feet up on a transatlantic flight?
Well, why doesn't the guy just do the balloon theory? You don't have to teach yourself rocket stuff. You just get a balloon and a camera.
No, this guy obviously has a thing about rockets.
If he's all about rockets, there's an Estes kit that is literally like a build-your-own rocket that has a camera on it. It will go high enough to take...
And that sounds like... You know what you could probably, at this point, just buying yourself a drone and just fly it up there. Like, you don't even need to do it. You just buy the thing, put a GoPro on that shit, and go straight up in the air.
I think you guys are missing the whole point. I think he just wants to build the fucking rocket.
Yeah. Maybe it's just a convoluted way to kill himself.
He's involving all us now. That's kind of...
Yeah, like...
I wonder what his life insurance policy is like.
Maybe it's an art project.
It's going to be null now.
Hopefully he doesn't believe in life insurance.
He doesn't believe in science, so...
Yeah.
No actuarial tables.
I don't believe in science, but here's the rocket I made.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's
not rocket science.
I've been following this story for a couple of days, and I have shifted from laughing at him to feeling genuinely bad about this guy and his life and the people in his life. Like, there's no way he has a circle of people supporting this idea. Like, maybe just Earl or somebody like at the bar. There's no way that anybody else like that cares about him.
Yeah.
Like, you've been building rockets and you're going to launch yourself a couple football fields up into the air, and then you're just going to die. Your whole game plan is just to crash to Earth from 2,000 feet.
Well, yeah. He's going to escape through a parachute.
Of course he is.
Sure.
Yeah, why wouldn't you at that point?
And then who's going to clean up the wreckage?
Well, BLM.
Yeah.
Flat Earth, so just use a big broom. It should be fine.
Man.
Flat Earthers blow my... That is so... You know, there's actually videos on the internet, dear listener, that are titled Ways to Prove to Yourself that the Earth Isn't Flat. You could just go look now. There's so many ways you could tell just from standing on the ground.
Yeah.
First of all, you can see that the moon is a ball. Like, you could just see it with your naked eyeballs. If you look at it every night and there's not too much light pollution, how do you extrapolate that there's a globe in the air, but you're not on one? Like, it just, you know, the sun is a circle and all the planets are circles, but the Earth is flat. Just, it's weird. It's so weird.
Yeah.
And how are there so many of these people?
They're growing. Like, the numbers keep growing on that, and I have no idea how.
It's like, this is weirder than creationism.
This happens, though. People in the 1920s believed in crazy shit that they knew was wrong, but they went ahead to do... It's almost like a mass hysteria thing. It's
like homeopathy in the early 2000s.
They go crazy for it in 1800, 17. I mean, there's like this constant threat of anti-science bullshit that is ready to take over a pocket of population at any moment.
It's just crazy. And it could also be part of the anti-intellectualism that we've been dealing with this generation, where we really talk down to people who know things, where this guy can say he doesn't believe in science, but then does a thing built around science. And like, it's just weird. It's like, if I'm going to build a rocket, I'm going to hire or learn rocket stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even we hired Nazis to build rockets because we're like, well, this is going to be important. Like, we literally went to the bottom of the barrel to learn shit. We didn't just go, well, the Nazis figured it out, we'll get there. Like, no, I just...
Yeah.
It's crazy. The Nazis are smarter than this guy.
Way smarter.
What? How? Well, old Nazis. The new Nazis are an interesting group of people.
All right. So for a final story, David Silverman, president of American Atheists, put an article in American Atheists magazine and also on Friendly Atheists about how he wants to shrink the tent a little bit.
You mean have a tent?
Well,
instead
American
of
Atheists,
just leaving the label open.
The approach has been big tent. If you don't believe in a God, you're welcome. And now he's wanting to push bigots out.
Yeah, I'm okay with this one.
Mixed feelings. I mean, drawing lines in the sand about who isn't a pure atheist is interesting. But I'm going to say this. Alt-right types, they don't bring anything to the table. They're just very regressive, you know, talking about bringing in racists and people who are openly sexist. And like, I think it's okay for society to go, you don't belong in our village.
Yeah,
like we want to push out the pedophiles and the rapists and murderers and the thieves. And I don't think there's anything wrong with us saying that if you are a horrible person, maybe don't be on our team.
Yeah,
you can still call yourself an atheist. We can't stop that.
Right.
But you
just
can
not be a part of American Atheists.
Just not the official. I don't think I'm part of the official group. Like, I don't even like. Do you fill out a card or something?
Yeah, you've
like,
got to get money. It's like $35 a year.
Yeah, I'm not doing that shit.
No.
No. So, okay, fine. They can join me on the outside where it changes nothing.
Yeah.
But you still get to do podcasts.
It's a nice gesture.
We already have the humanists, which is basically what he's kind of driving towards. The atheists need more humanistic values, and that's great. Yeah. By default, most atheists that I know are humanists. There's a few who aren't, who, I don't know, why I don't know, why pick on them when they're not? Well, I guess they are doing harm.
Yeah, he's specifically saying Nazis aren't welcome.
Which is fine. I think you can always say Nazis aren't welcome. That should just be standard greeting.
Yeah.
How are you doing there? No Nazis. Yeah, no Nazis to you as well, my friend.
No solicitors and no Nazis.
No solicitors or Nazis. And no staring at your niece's bits.
And on that note, we are out of time. Mikey.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Gary. Sorry we didn't get you back on sooner.
Totally fine. This is, it's been great.
You won't have to apologize this time.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
No.
We'll wait and see.
And Lauren, thank you for powering through. And remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Andrew's lost his shit.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.